So this afternoon, and just a reminder, in this room, we're having a Getting Direction sponsorship workshop. There is also a meeting available in the room, 111, through the lobby, down the stairs, and down the hallway. So if you're sticking around here, you're in for a treat, a workshop on sponsorship. We have with us this afternoon Kathy H. She's our keynote speaker tonight, so we're going to find out a lot more about her later. But for now, we're going to learn about sponsorship. Kathy?
Hi, everybody. Can you hear this, or is that just me thinking I'm talking to myself? Am I right? I am Kathy, and I am recovering one day at a time in the worldwide Al-Anon family groups. Hi, it's good to be here. I don't want to implicate Richard, but he had said to me, "We've got a few holes." And I said, "Well, Richard, I don't mind, you know, what do you need me to do? I'll do something simple." And he said, "Well, you know, we've got this, we've got that. We could do some, or we need maybe a workshop on sponsorship." And the reason that I volunteered to do the workshop on sponsorship is not because I'm an outstanding sponsor, truly, but because I really believe in the importance of sponsorship. And so I said, "Sure, I'll do it on sponsorship." But the way that I like to do workshops is for everybody to work, because I am just going to share what works for me, and then I would really love, I think we'll all benefit if we get a nice cross section of what you find to be, to be effective in the way that you sponsor or in the way that you are sponsored. So that I think would be a good. That's what I thought would be a good thing to do. I checked with Virginia. I just remembered to check with her this morning. There is a bookmark that Al-Anon puts out that I have always used, sponsorship, working together to recover, which fits in so nicely with your theme, this idea that we don't do it alone, but that we do actually work together in our recovery, and how nicely that partnership works all the way around. But just starting out, it says sponsorship is a confidential relationship between two Al-Anon members who benefit from sharing experience, strength, and hope. The intimate details exchange strengthen the bonds of compassion, acceptance, and understanding. This private relationship is focused on the Al-Anon principles. Making a commitment to this special relationship or letting go of the relationship is a personal choice. When I came into Al-Anon, it was April of 1982, and I came in on the coattails of sister-in-laws who had joined Alcoholics Anonymous almost a year ahead of me. And what became clear to me from watching my sister-in-laws grow in recovery in AA was that things were getting better for them. And what I noticed they were doing that was very important is that all of them had sponsors. And so right away it became very clear to me that that's what one of the first items I need to take care of in my own recovery was to get a sponsor. So one of my sister-in-laws, who had known me since I was probably 16, 17 years old, she said, "I know a woman who you would love. She would be a great sponsor for you. She's been in Al-Anon for a few years." She'd been in Al-Anon at the time for 11 years. She's the oldest of 11 kids from this, uproarious large family that of which I was familiar. And so I gave her a call, and I said to her, "You don't know me, Patty." And she said, "Well, sure, I know the family, blah, 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 blah." That's the way Cincinnati is. And it's like a large, small town. And she said, "Of course, of course I would love to sponsor you." She is still, 30 years later, my sponsor. And, you know, when I look at something like this, I mean, my relationship with Patty puts flesh on this little bookmark here, because what we have really is a long-term intimate relationship which is rooted in trust and in the principles of the program. And for that, you know, in and of itself, I am extremely grateful, because that relationship has been, for me, life-changing. Now, today, it's different than it was years ago, of course, because today we spend more time together than we did in the early years. In the early years, we spent a lot of phone time together, but really never 30 minutes, 40 minutes, never anything like that. I would call Patty and I would say, this is what's going on. And she would say, well, you know, lay that at the feet of alcoholism. It is clear to me that this is a control issue for you, and you might want to look at that. And that would be it. I mean, it would be, you know, minutes. Not would never take very long. She would just nail it for me. And then, you know, I would have to, once I hung the phone up, then I would have to begin to take a look at what, you know, those old patterns of behavior of trying to fix, of trying to manipulate, of trying to control things. One of the first things it says here is, sponsorship is a relationship built on equality, anonymity, and trust. And that, as I've just mentioned, has been, you know, she has said to me before, if you want to tell people who your sponsor is, if they ask, that's your business. But I will never tell people who I sponsor. And I don't know where that came from, but today, the women that I sponsor, if they choose to tell others that I'm their sponsor, that's fine. But I never tell other people, you know. I mean, that to me is part of this anonymous trusting relationship. That's a relationship that I share with those women. And if they want to divulge that, that's up to them. But I do not divulge it. I also don't sponsor people that I don't see. I have been, over the years, asked by people in different states to sponsor them. And I have said to them, you may call me whenever you want, believe me, and I would be more than happy to talk to you. But the way I sponsor, I have to sponsor eyeball to eyeball. And if you've got to get a sponsor in Cincinnati because there isn't anybody in your town that understands you, you might want to pay attention to that. You know, but that's just me. I like to sponsor people that I see at meetings, that I can, you know, get my hands on, that I can put my arms around, and that's just what works for me. I know that's not true for everybody, but this is, after all, about me, right? So, an opportunity for growth for both the sponsee and the sponsor. Early on, and still today, my sponsor will say to me, if I start to bring up, you know, I used to say that I would measure the health of the Al-Anon meetings I went to by the pronouns that were used. When I go to meetings and I hear all about her or him or she, they, you know, it's generally not a place where I want to spend too much time, because it's usually... a meeting that's based on an outside issue, that outside issue being someone other than ourselves. And so my sponsor has often said to me, if I have tried to make my husband the problem or a child my problem, she will always say, well, I don't know about that. I don't sponsor him. Or, oh, I don't know about that. I don't sponsor her. And, you know, we are right back to me. So it has always been an opportunity of growth for me and for my sponsor, in that we stay away from all those outside issues. And in my recovery, those outside issues are often someone else. It's a benefit in any stage of recovery. And again, I know that everybody does not always click with their first sponsor, or maybe not even with their second sponsor. But I can just tell you, for me to be in a long-term relationship with a sponsor has been very, very important because my sponsor has been able to, she's almost like a history keeper for me. She often reminds me of where I have been. She often can remind me of things that continue to keep, you know, crop up for me. She's very good at pointing out patterns to me. And I don't know in my own life if that would be possible if I kept jumping from sponsor to sponsor to sponsor to sponsor. That's what I have found to be true in my own relationship with my sponsor. That long-term relationship has been important and has certainly benefited me at all stages of my recovery. It says here that sponsorship is a commitment to practice healthy communication, not based on intimidation or demands. Now, I have over the years seen a tremendous, well, not a tremendous, that's exaggerating again, dramatic, but I've seen a lot of abuse of sponsees by sponsors. And I find it to be heartbreaking. Because for many of us, we come into this program of recovery out of environments where we felt like we were bullied, like we were intimidated, like we were pushed around. And for me, the last thing I need in my recovery is to be bullied, is to be pushed around, is to be intimidated. One time, I used to take the kids up to Cape Cod in the summers, and once when I was up there, I tried a meeting I had never been to before, and I had some years when I went to this meeting, but I was sharing with the group that one of my sons, who was there with me, was new to AA. He was young, but he was new to AA, and so I said to him, "You know, I'm going to go to an Al-Anon meeting in this little town. Do you want me to drop you off at the local AA meeting?" Which I've already found out the time and, what, you know, just happened to find out the time, the place. Oh, yeah, I was just being of service. And so he's like, "No, I'm not going to go to an AA meeting with a bunch of old men, blah, 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 blah." So I was like, "That's fine, you know, I just thought I'd offer." But, of course, I was so pissed, you know, like, so I go to this Al-Anon meeting, and I'm sharing, really. I'm just sharing, you know, I set it up. I was manipulative. I'm mad because he didn't do what I thought he should do. And, you know, after the meeting, this woman who was clearly the queen of the meeting. I don't know if you have any queens of meetings in your where you meet, but she was so clearly, you know, running the whole show. She came up to me afterwards and she said, "You need to leave your son alone and you, you know." And as she was pointing her finger at me, and I don't know what I said, something like, "Thanks for sharing," as I headed out for the parking lot. But I thought to myself, oh, thank you, God, that I've never ran into, you know, that I never ran into that in my early years, where I would have run screaming from a room if I had been met by anybody like that in Al-Anon, but particularly if I had chosen a sponsor that was, you know, a finger pointer, a sermonizer, a judger. You know, my sponsor is so good in pointing out to me when I'm judging, shaming, criticizing, or blaming. And that has never been a part of our relationship. But I have to say that I have seen it. I have seen it, and it's a heartbreaker because I don't believe that that's the spirit of recovery. I believe that I have been able to recover over the years because I have been surrounded by men and women who have been compassionate, who have been gentle, who have been willing to share their own journey, their own struggles, and they've done it as equals, never as a teacher-pupil, never in a teacher-pupil relationship. And I'm so very grateful for that. We also are told here in our literature that sponsorship is an agreement to recover and grow together, not to struggle in isolation. when I agree to sponsor someone, the first thing that I ask them to do, and it's really more of a means of getting to know them, is I ask them to get a copy of The Paths to Recovery and to start with chapter one, which is on the first step. And at the back of that chapter, there are a list of questions. So I ask them to just take some time and answer as honestly as they can those questions in the back of chapter one. And then we get together, and then they, you know, share that with me. And then we move on to chapter two. And we continue to do that all the way through the 12 steps. Now, I have to say, because it's important, that as they're sharing their answers, I too, as most sponsors do, share with them, you know, what we've heard this, you know, over these last 2 days of this festival, you know, to say to them, oh, yeah, sure, I've done that. You know, that feedback that lets them know that we are in this together and that what they're feeling or what they've done is not all that unusual. I mean, how many times have you heard people say that, you know, we can die of uniqueness? It is because we're willing to be honest with one another as we walk together in our recovery that any of this can work at all. So it certainly is important for me, you know, this opportunity for not only for self-discovery, but this agreement to recover and grow together and not to struggle in isolation. The only time that I might have real trouble with a sponsee, is when I think I am being used as a meeting. When I sponsor women and I will say to them, well, gee, you know, I missed you on Wednesday, I missed you on Thursday night. Have you been getting to meetings? No, I really can't get to meetings. Well, you know, then this is going to be difficult because I can't be your meeting. My relationship with a sponsee can never replace the necessary work that has to be done in recovery. I cannot be their meeting for them. I understand when sometimes you can't get to a meeting once in a while, but I cannot be a stand-in for somebody, you know, for somebody's recovery. I believe our job is to do this together, you know, both of us working the steps and both of us practicing the principles. But you know, I can't be somebody else's meeting. And oftentimes what I find myself saying to some women is, you know, when they come up with, you know, their lives are chaotic and they're making all these decisions trying to keep it in control, is just simply to say, well, you know, because we don't give advice, but I believe it's important to point out that we do have choices. So I will say to a particular woman that's still out there trying to rescue a child, an adult child, well, you know, that's, you know, you can do that. You can run up and down the streets at 11 o'clock at night calling their name as you would if you lost your pet. I mean, you can do that, but you don't have to do that. You do not have to do that. That's a choice. sponsorship is an experience based on unconditional love, not shame or judgment. It's a spiritual relationship with no strings attached. It's a one-to-one relationship, not an exclusive club. I am just one of those people that believe that some of the most powerful moments I have ever known in recovery is when I have sat down with another person, another woman in the program, and we have had some real honest sharing. And that happens a lot in the sponsor-sponsee relationship. Some of the women I sponsor have been through tremendous difficulties. They have seen, you know, suicide. They have buried children. They have missing children. They have children who no longer will speak to them. They've just had mountains of difficulties. And yet, they continue to show up. They continue to reach out for help, and they continue to be of service. That's why I'm very leery about talking about them or referring to them in any other way than women. The women I sponsor are of great courage, and they lead lives of wonderful grace and compassion. And I really, I can feel the hair on the back of my neck rise when I hear somebody in Al-Anon refer to their sponsees as anything other than a sponsee or or a woman. I mean, when I hear them say, "Oh, and then I gathered together all my babies," I'm like, "Well, I don't know who you sponsor. I sponsor women that are incredible. I have great respect for the women I sponsor. Some of them have just faced things I hope I never have to face. But if I do, I know I'm going to call. I'm going to call them." So I think that, that relationship that is also really bound together with mutual respect is important as well. A bond focused on Al-Anon's four primary ideas: that we are powerless over the problem of alcoholism, that we can turn our lives over to a power greater than ourselves, that we need to change both our attitudes and our actions, and that we keep Al-Anon's gifts by sharing them with others. Those are Al-Anon's four primary ideas. And for me, that's an important piece of sponsoring it, is that constant reminder that that's what we are really, that's what we are about. Oftentimes, I will say to the women that I sponsor, after, they've had a particular occasion in their life that's been upsetting, I'll say to them, "Who is it that you want to be? Who is it that you believe God has created you to be and challenges you to be?" Because it's important for me and for the women that I sponsor to have a vision of who it is they would like to be, so that they can work towards that woman. And I don't know how you do that without really practicing the principles. I don't know how you hold on to that vision without really taking quality time, in doing a 10th step, doing prayer and meditation. And that just, that assumes that you've come through the first nine. But that's really very important for me to ask them, "Who is it that you want to be? And would she act that way? And if she wouldn't, then how would she act?" Because none of us are perfect. And I personally screw up all the time. But what's important about screwing up is that I have to stop and say to myself, if this comes up again, how would I rather act? And then the hope is that the next time it comes up, I can remember that, and I'll act differently. But I will often say to my sponsees, that so many of these little things that we learn in Al-Anon, these phrases to say, like, can I get back to you on that? Or, well, that's just not going to work for me. I mean, that little sentence, "I don't think that's going to work for me," is so powerful in that I don't have to explain, I don't have to defend, I don't have to, do what I used to do, which was to do this complicated dance so that you would understand and that you would still like me. Just simply for me to say, "I don't think that's going to work for me," is enough. I brought this little story that's not at all conference approved, but whatever. Anyway, I'm sorry, Karen. That's right. I mean, this isn't really a meeting. So anyway, this is a workshop, but I think you'll enjoy it because this, to me, is sponsorship. A man found an eagle's egg. Oh, no. A woman found an eagle's egg and put it in a nest of barnyard hens. The eaglet hatched with the brood of chicks and grew up with them. All her life, the eagle did what the barnyard chicks did, thinking she was a barnyard chicken. She scratched the earth for worms and insects. She clucked and cackled, and she would thrash her wings and fly a few feet into the air. Years passed, and the eagle grew very old. One day, she saw a magnificent bird above her in the cloudless sky. It glided in a graceful majesty among the powerful wind currents, with scarcely a beat of its strong golden wings. The old eagle looked up in awe. "Who's that?" she asked. "That's the eagle, the queen of the birds," said her neighbor. "She belongs to the sky. We belong to the earth. We're chickens." So the eagle lived and died a chicken, for that's what she thought she was. When I think of sponsorship in this program, I think a lot of what we are willing to do for one another is to remind one another of who we really are. We're eagles. That sounds a little crazy. But I mean, to remind one another of who we are. We are enough for today. We are enough for today. And if that's one thing that I find myself telling sponsees over and over is, no matter where they are in any particular place in their recovery, for right now, for today, you are enough. You are enough. You are right where you're supposed to be in your recovery, and it will only get better if you continue to do those things that we all do. You keep coming back and trust the process, because it certainly is just that. It is a process. We encourage, we don't push. We encourage, and I hope that we inspire one another by the work of our own lives. So sponsors are members who are respectful of the anonymity of others, willing to freely give time to the relationship, continue to work on our own recovery. We are comfortable to be with. We are open-minded listeners. We are equal partners in recovery, able to listen without giving advice. It's important to recognize that relationships sometimes change as we grow in Al-Anon. So in order to continue growing, it may become necessary to change sponsors. Sponsorship is not a lifelong commitment, and letting go is not a sign of failure. Additional information on sponsorship, blah, blah. These Virginia has in the back. I think they're only 10 cents. So if you've never seen them, if you don't have one, they're really a wonderful guide in, I believe, in the importance of a sponsorship in our Al-Anon program. So that's what I've got, and I would love if anybody who would be willing would like to come up and find out what you, I mean, would be willing to come and share what you have found to be particularly important in sponsoring or in being sponsored. Thanks.
Thank you so much for that. Sponsorship. I was around the program for a lot of years before I had a sponsor. I always went to functions like this, for example, and I would see someone there that I was attracted to and that's what I wanted. And so I'd always ask them if they would be my sponsor. But, you know, in reality, it was like you said, unless you're face-to-face with the person, it's really hard. You know, so, I mean, I asked many people to be my sponsor, but none of them lived in my area. And reaching out, I never did, and I never heard back from some of them. So it took me a long time to actually find a sponsor. And being around where I am, I'm from a rural area in Saskatchewan, to find a member that I always thought that had to be longer in recovery than myself was really hard, and so I struggled with that for a lot of years, and I finally came to terms with it, you know, that I didn't have to find someone that had lots of recovery as long as they were, like you said, equal, and they're working their program and they're coming to meetings. And so then I was able to find someone that was only maybe 4 or 5 years in the program and was honored to be my sponsor, and didn't know what she was supposed to do. And I said, you know, I really didn't know a lot about sponsorship either then, but I said, you know, just to be here, to listen, to care, you know, someone that I can call at any time, you know, and that's working their program. And with that, I'm really grateful for that. I like what you said about, you know, being a sponsor, because I often think, you know, I'm not really a sponsor I kind of do a lot of service. I do a lot of reaching out to people, and people call me, and I want to know, you know, what I can do. And, you know, you gave a lot of guidance, you know, it's just to share my experience, strength, and hope, and not to judge and criticize criticize their recovery. Another thing that I was thinking about when you were sharing was my daughter's in the AA program, and she hasn't got a sponsor. She just got one recently, and I remember saying, you know, you should get a sponsor, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I was in the program probably at least 15 years before I had a sponsor, and she's only not even 2 years clean, so, you know, it was really humbling. And so I got lots from your talk. And that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
I'm Dave, and a grateful member of Al-Anon. Guy's perspective, all right? I remember my first sponsor. I was 12 years old. Tim was 16 years of age. At that age, he showed me that it was okay to cry, to live in a dysfunctional home, and he cared for me. So it was an amazing opportunity. Life goes on. Tim passed away. Now about 45 years later, he passed away. So there's a theme. My next sponsor, Henry, AA. Okay? Why did I choose an AA sponsor? Because nobody liked the guy. We worked together. He was just mean and a bully. And I thought, well, here's a guy that's profitable in his business, got a lot of things going on. I thought, we got to hang out with this guy. So Henry became a sponsor for me, and he was the right guy at the right time in my 20s that called a spade, black was black, white was white, and that's what I needed at that time. So you said earlier your transition of people that you need throughout your life in the sponsorship side of it. When I met Henry, he had 25 years of sobriety, and the first thing out of his mouth was, he said, Dave, do you know when an alcoholic's lying? And I smiled at him and said, I have no idea. He said, our lips are moving. And I kind of smiled, and I remembered that. You know, why did I remember that? Because, you know, I got sucked in a number of times with alcoholics in my life. Shortly after that, we moved, changed cities, found another sponsor, and this sponsor was an amazing man. Wasn't in the program, but understood the program. Journeyed with him for 17 years. And he taught me who I was as an individual. Knew what was going on in the relationship with my wife. Understood all that part. We talked about program. We shared about program. He broke me out of my shell of being quiet and shy, which is another story in itself. We're now going back to being more quiet and shy. You know, with, you know, growing up in an alcoholic home, you're all in or you're all out. So it's either all quiet or all loud. After Len passed away, it was a sad part to see that, because again, now I was looking for another sponsor. Ralph comes on board. Ralph, another guy in the program, AA. I'm going, there's a theme here, God. I'm not listening. So I got to listen. So just shortly after that, Ralph took ill, and he just stepped back. And I now currently have a sponsor, and Ralph's not died, so he's still alive. I currently have a sponsor who's younger than me. He's a counselor. He's got the program really good. He's gentle, quiet, goes for walks. Like, really? How is that any part of recovery? So I'm beginning to learn that. But in all of that, what I've been able to learn is I have had men come up to me saying, Dave, would you be my sponsor? And I'm kind of going, okay. And my question I ask is, why? You come across as powerful, gentle, kind, compassionate, and you don't take any prisoners. So this young guy that I'm sponsoring now, I look at him and I'm kind of going, oh, my God, I can't even begin to imagine going through what you're going through. Because I didn't have to go through that with the father and the ex. The list goes on and on. So in that opportunity to be a sponsor, all of the gentleness and kindness and compassion throughout my entire life, God's using that now for me. And it's always amazing. And I have business mentors all the time that aren't from the business world, but all of that because it's important. Because from a guy's perspective, and the guys that I sponsor, the sponsees that I sponsor, they're doing it alone. You know, they want to be at the top of the world, but they're all alone. So when they find out that I can cry with them, I can laugh with them, been fired, been business, gone all these things, and then they find out I'm divorced and I'm still strong and standing strong and I haven't killed her and I've released her by the throat, then we're okay with that. So from that journey from a very young age, and Tim was an amazing kid at 16 years of age that showed me the program works no matter what age, with the gentleness, kindness, and compassion. So this is a plug. If you haven't got a sponsor, you know who you want. Go ask. Thanks.
Hi, Kathy, grateful member of Al-Anon. My sponsor, when I started, she's actually close to 20 years younger than I am. So that was really a humbling experience to realize, I mean, we're all equal. Talk about an equal relationship. It's not to do with age or even years in the program even. It's working, you know, a program of action, finding someone who has what you want, right? And I remember when I started thinking about sponsoring, and I was kind of scared because I thought I had this fear that I was going to screw up. And a couple things stuck with me. One thing is my sponsor said, well, they're already screwed up. You can't really make it worse. So that took a lot of pressure off. And but the thing was, I found a really cool blog. And one of the things it talked about, it said, imagine someone who is in a house full of flammable objects and dropping matches. And an ineffective sponsor installs the smoke alarms and puts ointment on their burns and follows them around putting out the fires. An effective sponsor stands back and waits for the call saying, I can't live like this anymore. And then says, points out the relationship between the dropping the matches and the burning themselves. And I went, oh, because it's not about giving advice. I don't have to fix it, because that's part of my disease. And that's how I get better too, because I learn this healthier way of being with someone. And a third thing that really stuck with me was someone saying, when I was first sort of scared about asking for a sponsor and that type of thing, was the idea that if I don't enter into that relationship, I could be preventing someone from doing their 12-step work. Like, if someone has to do 12-step, how can they do that if there's not someone to do 12-step work with? So for those, you know, of you who feel like you're a burden, you're actually a gift, you know? Like, so it's that, it's so cool, that relationship that you learn from each other. So it truly is this equal partnership. It's not, you know, it's a sponsor-sponsee. It's sponsor-sponsee together, you know? So I love that. So that's what I had to share. Thank you.
My name is Lorraine, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. Thanks, Kathy. I was, I've been around the program for a long time, so I was reminiscing through my sponsors from my early days of Al-Anon. And the first sponsor I met was a lady who was 20 years older than me, and I lived within walking distance of her place. And my young son and I, we'd walk to her place, and she'd look at me and she'd say, I am so glad you're coming because I need to talk to someone. And when I was brand new, I'm going to talk to her to share my journey. So, and then she matched me up with another lady who had small children and things. And she was my sponsor for a few years, and then they moved away. But with her, we did things. We did recovered chairs and did all kinds of things. And I was on my own, and I remember those were the days when the skirts were getting to be sort of mini skirts and stuff. And she felt, well, maybe I should up my skirts a little bit, you know. So when I did it, they went out of style, of course, because it took me that long. And then Dave talked about Tim, and Tim was very much a part of our family life. And in Al-Anon, we had a wonderful spiritual relationship as with each other in the program. Of course, he moved away, and then another lady I was going to ask, she moved away to Calgary. Then I was getting a little bit worried because these people I was going to ask were leaving town, so I wasn't sure why. And then I remember after a roundup one weekend asking a friend that was at the roundup with me, and we were really quite different, at least I felt that at the time, and I was kind of scared of her, but my whole being said, ask her to be your sponsor. And on the way home from that roundup, I did ask her, and we were together for many years. The thing that I think sometimes hurts, whatever, is when you have a sponsor and they no longer go to Al-Anon. They don't go to meetings, and there's a real kind of a void with her. I'm still friends, but it just puts it on a different level. And the other interesting little tidbit is this one lady, she was about this high. She asked me to be her sponsor, and I said, yes, I would do it. And we never did talk to each other. She never phoned, and we never did go anywhere with it. But we'd meet in the mall, and she'd say, I was going to phone you, but I knew what you were going to tell me. And that was always a smile. And so anyway, that was the kind of my reminiscing through sponsorship in my days. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Still Richard. One of the things that came to mind as I was listening to Kathy is just that remembrance of precisely why I need a sponsor. And I don't have the disease of alcoholism. I've been affected by the family disease of alcoholism. I'm not trying to quit drinking. I don't need somebody to show me how to do that. But what I have is this illness that affects the way I think. And the problem with that is that the way I think affects the way that I live, and I don't see it happening. And what a sponsor is somebody that can look at what's going on in my life, look at what I'm doing from the outside, and offer a different perspective. They're not attached to the drama in my life, and they're able to see the things that I can't. Now, as I've been here for a little while, my thinking has got better, but I still try to check my thinking with my sponsor. And, you know, these days, a lot of times that phone call goes, well, this is what's going on, this is what I think I should do, and the answer is, well, that sounds pretty good. Right? I get that most of the time. But once in a while, I still get the, did you think that up yourself? You know? And the problem for me is that both of those ideas, the good one and the weird one, look exactly the same from inside here. And I need that. And this whole thing is built on the idea of, you know, if you want what we've got, do what we did. I heard mentioned that idea of you know, the right guy at the right time. And as a guy in Al-Anon, it can be more challenging to find a sponsor. I get that idea of wanting to be eyeball to eyeball. I talk to guys about being eyeball to eyeball on at least a weekly basis. But as a guy in Al-Anon, I have a couple of guys that I sponsor long distance because they just can't find men where they are. And I'm on my third sponsor. You know, my first sponsor was the right guy at the right time. He was absolutely loving and accepting and encouraging, and I could have gone to him and said I couldn't stand it another minute, and I took an axe to Karen's head, and he would have said, "Oh, that, aren't you being a little hard on yourself?" You know. But eventually what happened was I outgrew him. He was long on love and acceptance and not so much on direction. And I hit a point where I needed direction. And another guy came into my program life and he had what I wanted. And I asked him to be my sponsor. And that worked really well for a little while. And then, like I just heard, he drifted away from the program. And I just stopped hearing from him, seeing him, being able to connect with him. And so I went looking for another sponsor. And again, the right guy at the right time. In this case, I was doing a service commitment where I was bringing speakers into town. And in my recovery, every year it seems like there's a theme. I'll spend most of a year working on some aspect of my recovery. And at that time, I was trying to learn how to be a better sponsor. And this guy comes into town. And from the minute he got off the plane, he had this Bluetooth earpiece in his ear, and when he wasn't talking one-on-one program stuff with me or standing at the podium doing his talk that weekend, he was talking to a couple of guys back where he lived because they were going through crisis, and it was like going through a weekend clinic in sponsorship. right? And I got to see exactly what this guy was bringing to the party as a sponsor. And so he is my sponsor today. And I find that, would I prefer to be in weekly meetings with my sponsor? You bet I would. But you know, what we do here is the art of the possible. And the other thing I heard was that encourage, don't push. The phrase that's been really resonating with me lately is gentle, persistent effort. That's what I ask for. That's what I try to emulate myself. Is that I think I can hurt myself by overexerting the recovery muscles, you know, thrashing around and trying desperately to get better. Whereas if I just make an effort consistently on a daily basis to do one or two little things in support of my own recovery, over time I just get better, and I try to encourage guys to do that. So that's what I'm here. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Linda, grateful member of Al-Anon. Our handy-dandy public outreach board, the pamphlets come off with Velcro. So when I first asked someone to be my sponsor, they gave me this pamphlet, Sponsorship, What's It All About? And, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in here. And I was just thinking, too, there's also a little pamphlet about service sponsorship. And I don't think I, as group rep, I don't think I had a service sponsor, but I kind of hung out with other group reps. And then I went on to be district rep, and I kind of hung out with, you know, the service people. But as I climbed up in service work and now as delegate, like I've chosen people who have served in those positions and can guide me, you know, in service work. And I just want to say a little bit about being an Alateen sponsor. I did it for a little while because we always seem so short of Alateen sponsors in Regina. And so I felt a calling. And I did it for a while, but the kids were there because it seemed like they were there because they had to be there. And, you know, I left after a while. And just recently I've gone back, and there's only a couple kids, but it is such a rewarding experience to, you know, I'm touched by, you know, what people have said about the Alateen sponsors. And, you know, I go away for January and February, but I know I will make that commitment to be that second adult there for whoever might come to the meeting. And it's a gift. And all I have to do is show up. All I have to do is share how Al-Anon helps me. And I just have to listen. Thanks.
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry. I mean, sponsorship is something that's very been a very important part of my recovery. I guess I'd reiterate a few things that were already said that really I've seen resonate with me, and I've seen resonate with other people in the program who've been looking for a sponsor. And it's, you know, that I found that I didn't really start to make progress on the steps until I actually had a sponsor, someone to show me the way, someone to show me that path. I think that it's important to get the best sponsor that you can, because you deserve that, and it's really hard. It was hard for me. I think it's hard for other people. You feel like you're imposing or something like that, or I did. But I think it's important to get the best sponsor that you have or that you can get. And the third thing is the issue of temporary sponsors, because I think it's really hard to feel like you're making that lifelong commitment. And you talked about how it's not, but in my head anyway, right? It would feel like that. And so I've found, and I think other people have found, and people who've approached me about sponsorship have found it more comfortable to deal with the whole issue of, you know, would you be my temporary sponsor? And we're not making a long-term commitment. We're seeing if it can work out. So those things have been helpful to me, and I've seen them helpful to other people as well. So thanks. What was helpful to me a number of years ago was to be in a room like this at the festival where they had everybody stand up who was looking for a sponsor, and then they had everybody stand up who was willing to be a sponsor. And that was an opportunity for me and for other people to see somebody that they related to or connected with and that they'd be comfortable approaching. So I get to call that. So everyone who's interested in having a sponsor, if they could stand up. And everybody who's willing, I guess those people can sit down, and everybody who's willing to be a sponsor, if they could stand up, please. I'm standing as well. So there you have a bit of a sense of who's looking and who's willing, and hopefully we'll see some kind of speed dating or matchmaking or something maybe happening.
You know, before we close, I'm so glad you mentioned that. One thing that I did not say is I don't know how many of your meetings have beginner meetings attached to them, but we have a beginner's meeting at one of the meetings that I go to, and I have a commitment for the fourth Tuesday of every month. And we have, in our beginner packets, we pass out a list of temporary sponsors. And we say to the new person, you know, these are men and women who have signed up as temporary sponsors because they want you to call them. They need your help. They want you to call them in between meetings. And, you know, they're willingness to answer your questions, anytime something may come up for you, is a huge aid in their own recovery. And so we have a list of temporary sponsors that we stick in the newcomer packets. And it seems to work. It also allows us to hit, you know, the importance of sponsorship with new people. It avoids what we call people coming and using the meeting as a sponsor. Other people call it avoids people coming and throwing up at your meeting. I mean, I don't know, but it from the get-go gets them thinking in terms of the importance of sponsorship. So meetings are not used as sponsors. So anybody else? All right, then. Well, thank you. Oh, no. Yes. Great. Wow. Oh, I saw that.
Hi, my name is Laura. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I just kind of wanted to talk because I still feel like a newbie, and I just wanted to say that sponsorship, like other people have said, basically started my recovery for me. Like, I had been in recovery for a couple years, but basically what happened is I still kind of felt alone, I think, because I hadn't done the opening up, like trusting somebody and opening up. And so, like, I kind of, God worked it out for me because I didn't have the courage to ask. I did hear in these rooms, though, that if you listen to somebody speak in a meeting and you can relate to what they're saying, then that likely will be a good choice for you, for your sponsor. And so I did do that, and I chose that person. Like, I'm very good at avoiding, like, actually asking direct questions. So what I did is I was like, could I do my step 5 with you, you know? So we did our step 5 together, and then my sponsor today, who did my step 5 with me but wasn't my sponsor yet at that point, was kind of a little bit quicker than me. Like, I think she knew what was going on, and she was kind of like, so do you have a sponsor yet? And I was like, no. She's like, bad. And so anyway, so she became my sponsor. And I guess the thing is I really appreciate what you said, Kathy, about, like, our sponsors showing us who we want to be. And, you know, my sponsor sat across from me while I shared some of the things that I thought were the worst about me as a human being. And she sat across from me and loved me right there. And in that moment, I knew I could trust her. And she doesn't, you know, sometimes she says things that bother me because they're true and because they make me look at me and where my recovery needs to go. But I trust her, and that was a first for me. So I just would encourage anybody who's looking for a sponsor to just, even if you can't ask them, maybe just be a little bit open to it happening. Thanks.